Lakuta Sikha is volume 22, the second Sikha of Tzav, titled As a Communal Servant or As an Individual Servant. The Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol was obligated to bring a daily meal offering upon the altar. This is the verse. This is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to the Lord on the day that he is anointed. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour for a tamid, means continuous meal offering, half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. Comes along the sages in the Talmud and they inquire as to what is the law if the Kohen Gadol brought the morning half and died during the day before bringing the evening half. Here is the Gemara. If they do not appoint another Kohen Gadol in his stead, from whose property was it sacrificed? Rabbi Shimon says from the property of the community. Rabbi Yehuda says from the property of the heirs of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Talmud then explains that the reason for the opinions of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda come from the verse, I quote, "And the priest who is anointed instead of him from among his sons shall prepare it, an internal statute. It shall be completely burnt to the Lord." Now, from this verse, the verse states, "And the anointed priest that shall be in his stead from among his sons shall offer it." This is the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Ritva explains that Rabbi Yehuda extrapolates the verse to mean, "And the anointed priest, if he dies, from among his sons shall offer the Kohen Gadol's offering in his stead." The Talmud continues, Rabbi Shimon says, it comes from the next part of the verse, "If it is a statute forever." The word forever is olam. Now, the word olam also means world. Hence, he says that it is brought from the world, olam, i.e. the community. Now, from the language of the Mishnah in the question, from whose was it sacrificed, and from the language and opinions of the two sages, it is clear that, biblically speaking, it is not that the Torah instituted a new commandment for the Kohen Gadol's offering being brought in the interim until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. Rather, it is the very mitzvah that was upon the deceased Kohen Gadol before he passed away that is now driving the continuation of his offering until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. And the mitzvah is now upon the new Kohen Gadol even after his demise, until the next Kohen Gadol is appointed. Thus, we see that the debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda over how to extrapolate this law from the verse is in essence a debate over what the essence of the Kohen Gadol's offering is, even as the Kohen Gadol brings the offering during his lifetime. Now, while it is called the Kohen Gadol's Chavitim, meaning that it is his offering, and while this offering is to be brought from the Kohen Gadol's personal money, nevertheless, we are to explore whether this offering is of the category of communal offering or of individual offering, Korban Tzibur or Korban Yochid. Now, in enumerating the 613 commandments, the Sefer HaChinuch defines this mitzvah, it's mitzvah number 136 in his book, with, and I quote, "It is from the roots of the commandment that it is because the Kohen Gadol is the agent between Israel and their Father in heaven, meaning to say that he is the one that carries prayers to him for their sake, and through his prayers and the act of his sacrifice they are atoned, and hence it is fitting that there be a private daily sacrifice for a man like this, like the daily sacrifice of the community. And on account of this, he will be effective for himself and for them." That's the chinuch. Now, this lends to the Kohen Gadol's chavitin being about communal atonement, just as that of the daily sacrifice of the community, together with which the Kohen Gadol's offering is brought. However, other commentaries, such as their Barbanel on our verse, he states, I quote to you, "The Kohen Gadol's offering of every day deserves that we give it a reason. And it seems that she has several reasons. And the sixth," and he lists reasons. Number sixth reason is in order that he enter before God with humility and signs of poverty as the poor and destitute who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Skip ahead, the ninth reason, "The Lord willed that every day there will be offerings before him, an individual's offering and a communal offering. And the communal offering for each day is the one lamb should be offered in the morning and the other lamb should be made between the evenings. And in order for it to be the same with an individual offering, it was ordered upon the Kohen Gadol, which is the most holy one in the community, that it be that half of it should be in the morning and half of it should be in the evening. In such a way, the name of God will rise in general, the communal offerings, and in detail, an individual offering." That is the explanation of the Barbanel. Thus, the two opinions concerning the Kohen Gadol who died, if they did not appoint another Kohen Gadol in his stead, from whose was it sacrificed, will depend upon the two types of reasons for the Kohen Gadol's offering, whether it is for the community or for the Kohen Gadol himself. If we are to say that the Kohen Gadol's offering is a community offering, then when there is no Kohen Gadol, the community will have to bring it. However, if we are to say that it is an individual offering of the Kohen Gadol, then it now needs to be brought by his inheritors. With this explanation of the Kohen Gadol's offering being the Kohen Gadol as an individual, we will be able to explain the wording of Maimonides upon this law. I quote you from his laws. If the Kohen Gadol died in the morning after he offered the half of an Isaron, literally a tenth, referring to the tenth of an Ephah, and another high priest was not appointed, the heirs of the first should bring an entire Isaron as his atonement. Interesting words. Now, what is Maimonides' point in saying as his atonement? Additionally, what is his source for this? However, Maimonides is stating this in order to give us the reason as to why it is the inheritors that bring it, the heirs, the offering, being that the offering is their father's personal as his atonement. Now, additionally, Rabbi Yehuda in his ruling changes from the words of the verse, from among his sons shall prepare it, and instead he writes the words inheritors, in which Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that even though it is the male Kohanim who perform offerings, nevertheless, if the Kohen Gadol who died had only daughters, the inheritors, meaning the daughters, have to bring the offering. With this too, Maimonides is explaining that Rabbi Yehuda extrapolates this because this offering is about his atonement, explaining that the inheritors are not bringing a new concept, the inheritors of the Kohen Gadol's offering, no, but they're bringing their father's offering for him. Now, by understanding that the Kohen Gadol's offering is a kind of communal offering while also being an individual offering, we can understand Rashi's commentaries on the verse. I quote you verse 15 and 16 and the Rashi's. And the Kohen who is anointed instead of him from among his sons shall prepare it. This is an eternal statute. It shall be completely burnt to the Lord. Every meal offering of a Kohen shall be a whole offering. It shall be eaten. That's the two verses. Now let's see what Rashi does. Rashi quotes the words, who is anointed instead of him from among his sons, and he says, who is appointed from his sons instead of him. Then the second Rashi, he quotes, it shall be burnt, completely burnt, and he says, there is no kamitza, meaning a handful procedure, to enable any remainder to be eaten, but it is burnt in its entirety. And then in the next verse, where he talks about the plain Kohen sacrifice, Rashi quotes the word kalil, which means whole. It comes also from the word kul. All of it must be equally offered to God on high. Let's ask some questions. On the first comment, what is Rashi's intention with just reorganizing the words of the verse? The verse said, who is anointed instead of him from among his sons. Rashi says, who is anointed from among his sons instead of him. Now, in the second Rashi, why does Rashi need to teach us the intention of a simple word, kalil, that it means it is burnt in its entirety, and that obviously there is no remainder to be eaten? Rashi himself previously uses the very word kalil, and over there he feels no need to explain it. Question number three on the third comment. In the third comment, Rashi explains that the very meaning of the word itself, kalil kulo, hence, let's see what he's doing. The first time in verse 7, when Rashi quotes it, he explains nothing. The second time in verse 15, he explains the intention, that there's no handful. And now in verse 16, Rashi explains the simple definition of the word. The explanation to all of this. Rashi is dealing with a specific question upon the verse concerning the difference in their language. In verse 15, the words of the verse is, and the Kohen who is anointed, meaning the high priest, it shall be completely burnt. In Hebrew, kalil tikter. Now in verse 16, where he talks about the regular Kohen, he says, every meal offering of a Kohen shall be whole. In other words, the verse doesn't say kalil tikter, it says kalil tihiyeh, tihiyeh to be. It shall not be eaten. This is what's bothering Rashi. Why the change of words? Thus, Rashi understands that there are two types of kalil, one that's completely burnt and one that shall be a whole offering. Let's see. The Kohen who was anointed, the Kohen Gadol, by him it has to be completely burnt. The Kamitza procedure is not to able any remainder to be eaten, but it is burnt in its entirety. And Rashi elaborates that he does not mean that a kamitza is not done, but rather the kamitza itself is also burnt on the offering. As the Talmud says, the kamitza handful is sacrificed by itself, and the remainder is sacrificed by itself. Now, when it comes to a regular Kohen, it says, shall be whole, kolul tia. And what does he say? Rashi comments, all of it be equally offered to God on high. Meaning that all of it, kamitza and remainders, are offered together as one, that it be offered in its beingness, shall be, tihiyeh, as it is. There's no kamitza. Let's go further. The difference between the offering of the Kohen Gadol and the plain Kohen, why this one does have a kamitza, but the kamitza is burnt, and this one doesn't have kamitza, it's just all burnt, is understood through that which we explained above. The Kohen Gadol's offering is a kind of communal offering, while also being an individual offering. What does this mean? While the plain Kohen's offering is only an individual offering, therefore, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol's offering, which is not a Kohen, which would have not needed a kamitza performed, but rather it is a communal offering, which does need a kamitza performed. This mandates that there, yes, be a kamitza. However, being that the one who's offering the Kohen Gadol's offering, this communal offering, is a Kohen, and hence this is also a Kohen's offering, and therefore cannot be eaten from. Thus, the kamitza is made, but it's offered on the altar separately as a kamitza that cannot be eaten. Now, this is the reason for Rashi's first comment reorganizing the words of the verse. The verse said, who is anointed instead of him from among his sons? And Rashi just says, who is anointed from among his sons instead of him? Rashi is telling us that the simple meaning of this scripture does not tolerate Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda extrapolates from the verse that the words Mibanav, of his sons, and the word Tachtav, instead of him, are not connected to the word who is anointed, but to the words Ya'aseh, shall offer. Hence, Rabbi Yehuda extrapolates from this. He sees that the verse is stating, and the anointed priest, if he dies then, from his among his sons, shall offer, that they have to bring the Kohen Gadol's offering in his stead. Now, even though this extrapolation is obviously far from the simple meaning, so why is Rashi worried? Nevertheless, Rashi feels that he best clearly excluded from the simple meaning, being that the verse places the order of the words as, instead of him, from among his sons, instead of saying, from among his sons instead of him. Therefore, a student may think that with this choice of word order, the Torah is alluding to teaching us, besides the simple meaning, that the next appointed Kohen Gadol for all generations needs to bring a daily offering. He's saying besides that, with the word of word order that the verse wants to tell us, that until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed, that the inheritors of the deceased Kohen Gadol need to bring the daily offering, the daily Kohen Gadol's offering for their deceased father. Hence, Rashi clarifies that this is not in sync with the simple meaning of the scripture by telling us to read the verse as, and he switches the order, the Kohen, the anointed, who is anointed from among his sons instead of him shall prepare it. However, it's important to note that Rashi himself sees the words his sons not to mean just any son, being that the Kohen Gadol is an emissary of the community. Thus, it is unbefitting for this offering to be brought by a son who is not a Kohen Gadol, nor is an emissary of the community. Thus, Rashi understands that when it says Mibanav, the next Kohen Gadol is the one that has to bring it. Now, in the unique case of there being an interim between the death of a Kohen Gadol and the appointment of a new Kohen Gadol, which according to Rashi this verse is not talking about, nevertheless Rashi would rule from the perspective of the simple meaning of the verse that it is brought from the community and not from the Kohen Gadol's heirs. Now, we explained earlier that the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is based upon the difference in opinion upon what the essence of the Kohen Gadol's offering is. With this, we can explain yet another detail in which Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon differ concerning this offering. Let's go back to the Talmud. I quote, And what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the phrase, it is a statute forever, olam, to the Lord? This is how Rabbi Shimon derives that it has to come from the community. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says it has to be from the inheritors. So what does he do with that words, those words, that phrase in this verse? And the Talmud answers, it teaches that the status requiring the high priest to sacrifice the offering is to apply forever, every day of every generation that we have the temple. Now, comes along the Tosfos and he explains Rabbi Yehuda's need for this teaching, being that we might have thought, being that while Aaron, who was never inaugurated as a plain Kohen, but immediately as a Kohen Gadol, and therefore he had to bring the daily Kohen Gadol's offering. However, Aaron's sons, which were already previously inaugurated by bringing the plain Kohen's offering, and therefore when one of them becomes a Kohen Gadol, we would think that he would not have to bring a daily Kohen Gadol's offering upon being appointed as a Kohen Gadol. Hence, the verse specifies it is a statute forever to the Lord for every Kohen Gadol of every generation, even if he was already previously inaugurated as a plain Kohen. Now, Tosfos then concludes that Rabbi Shimon, who derives from this phrase the teachers that is brought by the communal resources, and therefore cannot use it for the teaching that the offering must be offered by every Kohen Gadol of every generation, even if he was first a plain Kohen. So Tosfos explains, he doesn't hold of this logic that we would think that a future Kohen Gadol would not have to bring the daily Kohen Gadol offering due to being previously inaugurated by offering as a plain Kohen. He doesn't believe with that logic, and hence needs no special phrase in the verse to negate such a thought. That's Tosfos. Now let us understand even deeper yet as to why Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree on whether or not there has to be a special teaching from the verse that a Kohen Gadol's offering needs to be brought every day for all generations, even when a plain Kohen is then appointed as Kohen Gadol. Now, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that the Kohen Gadol's offering is a communal offering. And I quote to you from the Talmud, there is no death with regard to a congregation. In other words, the entity of a congregation remains even when specific members die. Now, therefore, it is self-understood, without the need of a specific phrase in the verse, that just as the community is eternal, so too the communal offering is tamid, continuous, brought daily throughout all generations. Rabbi Yehuda, however, he sees the Kohen Gadol's offering as an individual offering, and we do not find elsewhere that an individual offering has the tamid, continuous detail, thus the need for a specific phrase, teaching us that this individual offering of the Kohen Gadol is tamid continuous. Now, the above stated difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is not just on whether a special phrase in the verse is needed or is not needed in order to teach us that the Kohen Gadol's offering is tamid continuous. Rather, here too, the difference lay within their opinion of what category of tamid continuous this offering has. Now, the definition of a communal offering being tamid continuous is not that every day there is an additional daily obligation to bring the offering. Rather, it is that the very first obligation of the very first offering that is one ongoing tamid continuous obligation. So too, it is with the Kohen Gadol's offering according to Rab Shimon. And seeing this offering as a communal offering, so it is but one ongoing daily tamid continuous obligation for all our generations. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of the Kohen Gadol's offering being an individual offering, and hence there is not the eternality of there is no death with regard to a congregation because we're talking about an individual's carbon, thus the Talmid continuous obligation is not an ongoing one, but rather it is a continuous offering in which the obligation continuously renews itself daily. And it is with this insight to the Kohen Gadol's Talmid offering category that we can now understand the teaching of the Torat Kohanim upon the verse. This is the offering of Aaron and his sons, a Talmid continuous meal offering. Let's look into the Torat Kohanim. I quote, on the day that he is anointed, he quotes from the verse, and he explains, from the day that he is anointed, he brings a tenth of an ephah, Talmid continuous. But perhaps it means on that day he brings the tenth of an ephah and then stops. It is therefore to negate the latter written a meal offering tamid continuous. How then am I to satisfy the part of the verse that says on the day that he is anointed? It means that on that day he brings a tenth of an ephah, and he does so forever from there on, tamid continuous. Now, what is the Torat Kohanim's answer that from on the day of the of that he is anointed, we learn that on that day he brings forever, when we can clearly learn that the obligation is from on the day that he is anointed until forever from the words a tamid continuous meal offering? So why does he have to separate and say no? The daily thing we learn from the actual words on the day that he is anointed. However, in lieu with the new understanding of the Talmud continuous category of this offering, we see that the Torat Kohanim is teaching us a law by extrapolating the Talmud continuous specifically from the words on the day that he is anointed. With this, the Torat Kohanim is telling us, the daily Kohen Gadol's offering is a daily he is anointed of the Kohen Gadol. And just like by the first time when Aaron was, he was anointed, it was forbidden for the Kohen Gadol to do any service prior to being anointed, so too daily it is forbidden for the Kohen Gadol to do any service prior to his daily he is anointed by that day's Kohen Gadol's offering. Now, the understanding of the opinion that it is one, an individual offering, two, that the day that he is anointed is tamid continuous, and three, in the category of every single day anew, there is the obligation of being he is anointed, this coincides with the Hasidic parsha of this Torah portion. I quote to you from Likut Torah. Seemingly, the verse should have said from the day that he was anointed, it's eternal, instead of on the day that he was anointed. However, the reason that the verse states on the day that he was anointed is in order that there be every single day forever the spiritual aspect and level of that on the day that he was anointed the first time when Aaron did it in the tabernacle in the desert with Moses. And the teaching continues with explaining that this which is stated upon the offering of Aaron, the spiritual aspect and level of on the day that he was anointed, refers to the offering of Aaron's tamid continuous offering of forever. And nevertheless, this daily offering is forever, each and every day, and of the aspect and concept of on the day that he was anointed. Hence, we focus on the word on the day because the spirituality that happened on that very day is what has to happen again and again in the tamid, continual, every day. Now, this coincides with our understanding of the one, tamid, continuous category is of a daily anew, and two, the obligation of the very on the day that he was anointed, and thus is the Kohen Gadol's being anointed anew on and for that very day, every day.